big news. Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home. These are our best deals of the year. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in game time decisions here on this Friday now, June the 7th, as what a weekend. I'm so looking forward to this, and it's going to be a great weekend next weekend as we talk to Smiley Kaufman here about the U.S. Open just around the corner. Memorial has still got to be finished, although I think we're all rooting for Scottie Scheffler here, or no. He is a somebody that in all likelihood has a pretty good chance of winning yet another tournament. Mix in the Belmont Stakes, the NHL Stanley Cup, the NBA Finals, and oh yeah, Yankees Dodgers. Mark Zinno knows all about that, dropping in here for us. Mark, I love this slate of games this weekend. And then I think something's happened in London, but nobody really cares because the Mets are involved. But let's talk about some of these games here tonight. Your thoughts, though, with this Yankees and Soto news and the Dodgers and the Bronx, you know, a lot of history there. Is it going to be a good series, you think?
I'd like to think so. I mean, listen, the sort of pessimist, a.k.a. guarded optimist in me, who has been a little bit skeptical in the Yankees' performance with the Soto news. I mean, it looks like it's good, but this feels like the first step of, you know, if he's out for any significant period of time, guess what? This entire lineup changes. This entire team changes. I mean, he really has been such a catalyst for them offensively. And you had to begin to wonder, with Stanton staying healthy and Judge staying healthy and Soto staying healthy, yes, they're extremely potent. But without Soto, it's very tough for me to envision the Yankees continually being as productive as they are at this pace. But, you know, you try to hold out hope that it's not going to happen. It feels like one of those things where, you know, he takes a couple of days off, comes back, and then, whoops, one game in, you know, you have that thing where it just hits him again. Oh, now here we go. So, you know, I don't want to be too negative about it, but I certainly am very worried, to say the least.
We got a couple of games getting ready here. First pitch about to happen in Cincinnati, Great American Ballpark. Cubs and Reds, Steele versus Lodolo. Just when I'm thinking the Reds might have turned a corner because – you know who is absolutely killing the ball here, finally, for the Reds. But the Cubs on the road, I still don't trust the offense. So what are we doing here with them?
I mean, I'm back in the Reds tonight, mostly because I think this number is short for two reasons. As far as the money line price here, you know, I got it at Reds minus 109 this morning. But, you know, Justin Steele has a certain cachet after what he did last year. But the Cubs are just 1-6 in his seven starts this year. Conversely, for Nick Lodolo of the Cincinnati Reds, been great in his eight starts. They're 6-2. So he's been getting a ton of run support, almost five runs a game. And I just at home, I'm willing to back them right now. And it looks like the Reds offense is starting to turn the corner here. So I will back them in this spot here and hope that they can take the second game of this four-game series and put a little pressure on the Cubs because, you know, and I try to get one game ahead here. If the Reds do what I think they can do tonight, and the Cubs aren't a great road team, it's just 13-19 on the road this year. But if the Reds win the first two, you know, you might get a spot tomorrow where you want to play on the Cubs to make sure that they're not facing a four-game sweep on Sunday.
Yeah, it's some interesting lines here tonight with some road teams, which we don't often like to run to the window and back as small favorites here, especially in an opening game of a series. But the Guardians taking on the Marlins as a slight favorite. The Giants taking on the Rangers with Webb. What are we thinking here with these?
Well, Webb is not the same pitcher on the road that he's been at home this year. And that it's a pretty dynamic split. His ERA is almost three full runs higher on the road this year than it is at home. In his seven road starts, he's just 1-3. But this is a guy that's just been a dynamically different pitcher on the road than he has at home. And so I know the Rangers offense, and this is the problem. You know, the Rangers at home are only giving up 3.5 runs a game, and go look at their home record. It's not good because they're not scoring. They're just not the offense that they were last year. So this is a Rangers team that's just 15-15 at home this year. And I'm banking on Lorenzen, who's been really good this year. He wasn't all that great last year, but the 2.96 ERA and the 1.17 whip are things to get excited about. He's not a great, you know, strikeout pitcher, and he walks a lot of guys, which is a little bit disconcerting. So it puts guys on base, especially for a bad lineup like San Fran that doesn't really score a ton of runs. You're giving away free passes, it could be a problem. But I'm hoping the Rangers get out to an early lead here against Logan Webb and have to turn it over to that bullpen.
Yeah, well, I mean, and then you've got, and I'm trying to figure this one out, right? Because you got the Miami's lost four straight games. They've scored a total of 8 runs in those games, and you're taking on one of the best hitting teams in the American League and the Guardians. I don't care to throw Logan Allen out there. What am I missing at this price here with the Guardians?
I mean, again, and you know, is Miami a favorite in certain spots in this game here? I'm seeing some out there that say it's a very fishy line, no pun intended, when it comes to Miami.
But
it's a very weird line to me. It's a stay-away game. I wasn't going to get involved. You know, again, I'm seeing spots right now where Miami is actually, you know, even money.
A small favorite.
Small favorite. So Ryan Weathers, I guess, is what we're banking on here. And, again, Logan Allen has been the beneficiary of a ton of run support this year. The guy's got a 5.83 ERA, and that's the problem. He's getting nearly 6.5 runs of support per start. But, yeah, I when I saw that line, I said, something's weird. That seems too easy for the Guardians. But they've been mashing the heck out of the baseball, so it's tough to step in front of them.
Yeah, I don't. Miami's 11-23 at home, and what? They're laying money? Absolutely not. Not buying it here. Are you buying the Astros here tonight? Seems like there's a lot of love with Framber on the mound. You trust them enough to be able to get this done here tonight?
I'm willing to fade Griffin Canning, another guy who puts a lot of guys on base. And, you know, he's got a 4.7 ERA and a 1.37 whip. And this is an Astros lineup that feels like now they're starting to come around, right? And plus, the Angels are one of the worst home teams in baseball, 10-21. Straight up at home this year. So it's not like the Astros are all that much better on the road, but you know, you get Framber, you get a guy who, you know, is probably going to go 5 or 6 innings as long as he doesn't get rocked early. And this is an Angels lineup that, you know, all things considered, I don't really have a lot of faith in. They don't score a ton of runs, and Framber should be good enough here to get us through 5. And let's hope that the Astros bullpen can do the rest.
Yeah, I mean, back in a couple of weeks ago, they got crushed by the Angels there, but I don't see how this thing goes over 8.5 runs either. I think it's a dead under with these two teams here until the bullpen gets involved, and then Houston's going to pull away rather quickly in that one here. Friends don't let friends bet the Padres. Are you betting the Padres, Zeno?
Apparently, we stopped being friends. So. Look.
Oh, no.
Look, they lost 5 in a row, and it was a game last night where they had a runner on second with a chance to tie the game in the ninth inning, and a bad call by the umpire ended the game. And it just felt like one of those games where San Diego was so close to breaking through. I'm willing to fade Brandon Pfaadt. I'm not a believer in him, at least not in the regular season. Maybe when we get to the postseason, I'll start to believe in him again. But you know, again, he's got a run higher ERA on the road. And for me, it just feels like the time in front of San Diego. Now, full admission, if San Diego doesn't get it done tonight, I'll probably play on them again tomorrow to avoid being swept and losing 7 straight. So it was situationally a spot where I really felt like the losing streak was going to come to an end tonight.
Yeah, it's been a strange go. Neither team truly, including Arizona. I mean, they seem to have figured a few things out, but this is another team that is woefully underperforming here. And I'm sorry, when you have those bats in a lineup of the Padres, you got Tatis Jr. You got to score some runs at some point. You got a pretty damn good bullpen, and you got a former Yankee on the mound. There is no excuse at all for them not to win this game here tonight at home here, Zen. When we get back, we'll take a look here to game number 2 with the Boston Celtics. and the Dallas Mavericks. We'll dive into that here on Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on this Friday. Joe Ranieri joined by Mark Zeno as we've got, about 7-8 Major League Baseball games underway right now. We got about another half a dozen getting ready. Should be a quality night. Yankees Dodgers at Yankee Stadium. Nothing there. The only game of any significance right now with runs is Milwaukee in two innings. They're up 5-0 over Detroit. So we'll keep you posted on how these go here. But Zen, it felt like it took 2 years to get to the NBA Finals. We finally got there last night. Game one in the books. Don't spend an awful lot dwelling over what we saw last night because adjustments will be made. And quite honestly, it doesn't mean anything on a game-to-game basis. What are we going to get game two is going to be the big question I have for you, given the fact that the total opened up exactly the same way that it opened up in game one. And we're already seeing the Dallas money hit the board again. So the spot favors Dallas. It feels like a zigzag. What do you think we're going to get here in a game two?
Well, look, the level of frustration I had after game one for being on the wrong side of the Boston Celtics team total going over is still at a very high level for me. The numbers tell you everything that Boston should have easily scored 110 points. They shot 47.5% from the field, 38% from three. They got 20 points of Kristaps off the bench. All five starters were in double figures. Everything told you that Boston's offense was clicking on all cylinders. They scored 37 points in the first quarter and then scored 44 in the entire second half. Why? Because Dallas was useless the entire game offensively. And so odds makers are telling you, look, Dallas won't be that bad offensively two games in a row. But here's the thing. And this is what really is the issue, why that total hasn't moved, because odds makers are telling you if Dallas levels out just a little bit, this thing will go right up in that 214 range again, because Boston is going to get up to one. Boston should have been at 115, 116, the way they just didn't have to rush. They didn't have to do anything in the second half. They didn't have to break a sweat. And that really just killed the pace of the game. I mean, it was one of those things, Joe, where it was like the right read. I just got a bad result with the team total. Maybe I got a little too cute and should have just laid the six with the Celtics or 6.5. But the thing about Boston is they remind you how much markedly better they are than other teams when they play them. The frustration with the Celtics is they have another game in the next game where it's so much closer and the numbers just don't say, oh, my God, this was the same team that rolled the other team in game one. So the expectation is that Dallas will start to get better. But I don't know if I believe that because I think we keep forgetting how good Boston's defense is. This is still a top five defensive efficiency team in the NBA. That's not the Dallas Mavericks. And we saw Boston do a similar thing defensively to a team that is better on the offensive end than the Dallas Mavericks in the Indiana Pacers. So we keep forgetting how good Boston's defense is. Really, what you're banking on is if Boston's defense puts the same level of effort out there, I don't think Dallas can stay within this number. It's just a question of whether, you know, Dallas normalizing to 44-45% shooting still makes Boston cover this game, right? Like Dallas is going to have to be in the 46-47 range, you know, possibly 48, and they're going to have to make more than 7 threes. Because the problem is that every time Boston makes 15 threes, at least 14 or 15 or more, they're unbeatable. You're just not going to beat them because nobody shoots it as well as they do left in this postseason. Nobody did. I mean, with the exception of Oklahoma City, statistically, nobody is going to make anywhere near as much threes as Boston is. So Dallas better get out and defend the three, and that's where Dallas has to win this game. They have to stop the Celtics on the perimeter and figure out how they're going to score because – The tactic that Boston uses, great. Okay, Luka, you go do what you're going to do. Go ahead, get your 30-10, and you know, we're going to be okay. We're just not going to let anybody else do anything. Yep. And that should be enough for Boston. Really, it should be. Because Luka, as great as he is not enough. He's got to have some complimentary support, whether it's Kyrie or whoever else it may be. He's got to have some complimentary support. I mean, Kyrie's not going to go 6-for-19 again, I don't think. and 0 for 5 from 3. But still, even if he levels off, is it enough to close a 20-point gap in a game that really Boston was never really, you know, challenged in other than the first 6 minutes of the first quarter? Boston's a better team, and they reminded you of that last night. So if you're under 6 here, I'd still go with Boston. I wouldn't turn away from them because it's one of those things where Boston's going to cover or they're going to lose the game outright, right? I feel like it's just that kind of series.
Yep. It's they have a math problem now. You can't give up 42 threes to Boston and you only take 27. You can't allow Boston to have 15 extra attempts at three and you're still trying to mess around with twos. Like, it's the math is not going to work. They need somebody outside of Luka to make a couple of threes to be able to open some other things up. So who will that be? I don't know. We got a month until game two, it feels like, here. So there's certainly plenty of time, you know, for them to work on a few things. But let me ask you this. Boston wins, covers game two. Are we pushing in on Dallas in game three back against the wall at home?
If Boston wins game two, I suspect the number, I mean, depending on how big they win it, but I suspect it would still be probably Boston minus 3.5 or 4. They'll give Dallas a clear 2.5 points for home court advantage. And again, that's a spot where it's, to me, Dallas money line or Celtics outright. I mean, you know, I think Boston is good enough to cover every number you lay out there that is under 10. They really are. Like, that's to me, in my opinion, you know, I thought game one should have opened up at 7.5, maybe 8. They came out at 6. I thought the number was very low. Again, probably got too cute with the team total. I just knew Boston was going to score and be able to score. I don't think Dallas can stop them. I genuinely don't.
Yeah, well, the big problem is, of course, is Boston 11-19 against the number in the playoffs after a blowout win. The game two is, this has been their demise. The take the foot off the gas, believe the own hype. If you really want to believe this is a new one,
the public is going to buy into it.
I'm just saying, it's a narrative because it's real, and that's exactly what they've done again this year. So can they get over that hump? If they do, this could be over in 4. Mark Zeno, enjoy the games, man. Thanks for stopping by. GTD returns after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game time decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. Still no score. Yankees at home taking on the Los Angeles Dodgers. Going to be one hell of a weekend, not just in Major League Baseball, NBA Finals, NHL Finals, and let's not forget the Belmont Stakes happening tomorrow at Saratoga. It's a long the Belmont's not at Belmont. We'll get into that in a minute. Gino Bagola of the Daily Racing Form joining us here. Gino, we appreciate you stopping in. The first thing we need to explain, because there's no doubt a viewer going, wait a minute, you said the Belmont's at Saratoga? Yes, it's at Saratoga. Yes. So let's start with that. The big differences in this race and how to approach handicapping as opposed to if it was at Belmont.
Yeah, so because of the construction going on at Belmont over the next few years, things are going to be very, very nice over there. They're expanding. They just want to be able to have more people, more capacity for big events just like this in the future and possibly Breeders' Cups in the future. So it's not bad to have Saratoga as your pinch hitter coming off the bench to fill in for you. But because of the configuration of the racetrack up there, they won't be able to run at 1.5 miles. It would either have to be 1.25 miles, or if they wanted to go a little bit longer, they decided 1.25 miles makes the most sense. That's the distance that these horses have all just run at the Kentucky Derby. And we've seen Belmont races in the past run at different distances. So this isn't anything new. Remember, just a few years ago in COVID, everything was a little bit out of order and distances were not the same. So to me, that just made this race more competitive, more wide open, because we don't really have to eliminate some horses right away that we know they're not going to be able to get 1.5 miles. So for us gamblers, I think it opened things up and it gives us a couple more real opportunities for horses to take a swing with.
All right, so talk to me here about, it's so funny because Sierra Leone, we've been hearing since before the Derby, it's going to matter, going to win the Belmont. It's going to be the Belmont. Wait until they get to the Belmont. Distance is perfect. Yeah. All that. So talk to me on how this race breaks out here. Where's the early speed, and should we be looking at Sierra Leone here as a contender?
Yeah, the race should set up pretty well for him. On paper, it looks like there's probably three or four horses who should all be pushing the pace. We became familiar with Seize the Gray, the Preakness winner. He was setting the pace in the Preakness. I think he'll be right there. You see, they have Mystic Dan up close as we look at the Timeform U.S. pace projections. He shouldn't be too far out of it. I actually think the Wine Steward, the four, I think he's going to be a little more forwardly placed in here. So this is what it should look like at the beginning. What we saw before was at the end. So it shows you it should be pretty fast with the 1, the 6, and the 10 all kind of battling it out, and then behind them, another group of horses. So it should set up pretty well for horses coming from off the pace like Sierra Leone. He'll have no excuses. They changed equipment. They made a rider change. He's kind of been his own worst enemy. Joe, he's a horse who's not quite very efficient late, kind of lugs in. He sort of bumps a little bit. We saw him doing that in the Derby against his rival. So if they were able to really kind of figure him out in the last 5 weeks or so, and he could just mature a little bit, he's going to be tough to hold off if he can stay straight. So I have him and Mystic Dan as the horses to beat, but we want to know a little bit more than that, right? I'm not here just to tell you about the horses to beat. I'm here to tell you, Joe, about the horses to bet. And for me, I have two of them that I think could offer really nice value for however people want to play. If you're someone who plays horses to win, maybe you're someone who plays pick fours and pick fives, or maybe you play like exactas and tries, these horses could help spice any of that up. I have two of them that should both be nice value. The number two, Resilience, who's 10 to 1 on the morning line. Remember him in the Kentucky Derby. He made that huge wide move all the way up at the top of the lane. A lot of people thought he was looking like a winner. He just had to move so wide so quickly that he kind of flattened out a little bit. But he's training very well, and the connections are excited about him. And instead of post 18, he's going to have post 2. He should be able to save a lot more ground. I'll give you one more that I think should offer really nice value. The number 8, Honor Marie. This poor horse had a brutal trip in the Kentucky Derby. He was dead last early. Coming out of the gate, he was pinballed back and forth and back and forth. And he made a huge move from 20th all the way up to 8th. And then again, once you make a move like that quickly, you sort of flatten out. In a race like this where there's not 20 horses, he's going to have a much better opportunity. So two price horses for you, two horses to beat, Sierra Leone and Mystic Dan. The total wild card on the outside is Mind Frame. Remember, shop.drf.com. That's where you got to go, Joe, tonight when you're handicapping, you're sitting back with your beer, you're watching Dodgers, Yankees, you're getting all ready to rock and roll, you're putting your bets together for tomorrow. We've got everything you need at shop.drf.com to help you make all the money come Belmont time. And hey, you call me back sometime soon and we'll talk more Dodgers, Yankees.
I love it, Gino. Let's just make sure Todd Pletcher doesn't get 5 more entries into this race that we didn't know about. Appreciate it, Gino, as always, man. Enjoy the races. It should be absolutely epic and game time decisions. We'll be back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. Coming up top of the hour, a little in-game live, a prime time here covering a big slate of Major League Baseball action right now. Yankees, Dodgers in the Bronx. No score there. And the man that you will see at the top here, Matty Perrault, stepping in. And Matt, it's funny. We were just talking before we came on air because the reports are flowing in that it appears there is a number associated with how much the Lakers are going to throw at Hurley to leave UConn. And this is an astronomical number to the point, Matt, where it's laughable. And is that the kind of money where we're going to make you an offer you can't refuse? Is that what this offer is, you think?
Yeah, I mean, good to see you, Joe. I think if you look at the highest paid coach in the NBA, it's Greg Popovich. He's making $16 million a year. So if it's $100 million, is it $20 million? I mean, how many years is this going to actually be for is the question. Because if it's, you know, $10 million a year for 10 years, I'm not sure he's jumping up and down. But if it's $20 million a year for 5 years, maybe he does take the bag, because as we talked about during the break, you can always go back. I mean, I'm a graduate of UMass Amherst. I watched John Calipari go to the Nets and went back to Kentucky and dominated. We've seen Rick Pitino go to the pros and stink and then go back to college and dominate. The college game, even though it's changing dramatically with the NIL rules and players and how you recruit and get players to show up to play for you, is changing. This is still a very lucrative NBA offer that he could go back to college if things fail.
Oh, they absolutely good. The question is, that's a learning curve for him. Here's a guy that actually wants to coach. There's not much of that going on. So are the Lakers, you think, looking, this is for the generation after LeBron? Is that what they're selling him on, you think, Matt?
Yeah, look, the NBA has now become a developmental league. I think if you look at the way the Boston Celtics got to the NBA Finals, it was a lot of trial and tribulation with both Jalen and Jason. They took them both third in the draft and waited. And that was in Boston. There were a lot of talks about trading both those guys, trying to get the established veteran. And Boston really was hesitant. Danny Ainge didn't want to do it. Brad Stevens then gave Jalen Brown a max contract. Last offseason, that was a gigantic question. Does Jalen Brown earn, has he earned a max deal? Now you would say, oh my gosh, has he ever earned it with the way he played in game one for the Celtics? So I think teams in the Lakers, frankly, are looking at this going, we're going to be bad for a while. Like, we need to stockpile draft picks. We need to figure out what life will look like after LeBron James is gone. And how do we go from the end of LeBron into the beginning of whatever else comes next? And they need a coach who actually can develop talent. And clearly we know that Hurley is capable of doing that. Plus, he's scouted and or recruited so many players in this draft and the next draft that he have a pretty good idea as to who he'd want to be on the roster for the Lakers.
It's a fascinating, it really is. It's going to be a fascinating time to see what he does, and maybe the Lakers starting a trend here, because you're going to have to pay that kind of money to have to sit there and bite my tongue with LeBron James and Anthony Davis in a locker room and not actually coach, which is exactly what he is at heart here. What did you think of the job Mazzulla did coaching, getting his team ready for last night there? I for a guy that took some flack, I thought he had his guys ready to go here.
I thought the decision to bring Porzingis off the bench was brilliant. I think it was perfect to have him come into a game like that where he wasn't a starting. He normally was the starter, but to have Al Horford start and then bring in KP the way that he dominated the time he was plus 13 last night. He didn't play a ton, but when he did play, he was highly effective and really spurred that first quarter in which Boston led by 17 points after the first quarter. And that was pretty much the game after that. I think Mazzulla learned a lot last year. I think he's been pretty calm and not overly reactionary. And I thought from a player perspective, Boston looked like the team that had been in the finals before. The first quarter for Dallas, a lot of their young guys looked a little bit over their skis. Lively looked like he was a little bit behind the moment. I thought Luka looked a little bit hesitant at times. And then Boston attacked Luka on the defensive end, and they got him tired. And yeah, he scored 30 and 10. But he had one assist, and he was a liability on the defensive end for the Mavs last night. I thought that was all coaching and a really good matchup job by Mazzulla.
Yeah, I could not agree more here. We've got a couple of games coming up late night on the slate. Astros and Angels. Canning against Framber Valdez. You leaning one way or the other in these late games?
Do we have to watch that game? I mean, my gosh, what happened to the Astros? The pitching matchup is okay, but Framber hasn't been a typical Framber Valdez. The Astros lost two of their best pitchers this week to season-ending surgery. Their offense is non-existent this season, and the Angels are just a train wreck. This is the weirdest. The AL West was supposed to be really good. I mean, they had the AL representative last year, and you couldn't, watching the Rangers, you could have fooled me as to how they do it. And I know they've got their two big arms coming back in the second half, and that's when they're spurred to go on a run, and maybe they make some noise at the trade deadline. But my goodness gracious, this is a bad division, let alone bad teams individually. This whole division is tough to watch.
So coming up top of the, I got to ask you, though, because nobody seems to understand. Why are the Red Sox a dog tonight? I'm curious. Could you any idea, Matt?
Yeah, I do, because I'm on the first five. I'm on White Sox first five. I may need my head checked betting on a team that's lost 14 consecutive games and Boston just scored 14 runs against them. But Crochet is legit. I mean, this kid can really pitch. I don't know how much longer he'll be on the White Sox, because he's. I think they're going to fire sale everybody. I think Fetty, Crochet, and Robert are all on different teams after the trade deadline. But I think Boston has had a tough time scoring runs this year against elite pitching. And I think the White Sox, the kid that the Red Sox are throwing, like, is a gas can. He's an opener. He gets lit up. This is the worst pitcher that Boston throws. I think the White Sox, until that bullpen comes in, and that's why it's first five, I want nothing to do with the White Sox bullpen. You could in-game this. I bet the run line. I laid the half run on first five for the White Sox and took plus money on it, because a 3-2 lead, and we win there, and then that bullpen comes in and all bets are off. They could lose their 15th consecutive game tonight. No, I 100% think the Red Sox are live to win the game. So I took the bullpens out of it and just went first five.
Love that. Him and Fetty are the only two guys worth betting in the first five. That's it. Don't go anywhere and then bet against them later in the game there. Chris Bassitt on the road, never a trustable thing here. Toronto taking on the Oakland A's. What are you thinking?
Probably, I don't know. I probably would go with the A's on this, but I have such a hard time with the A's. Like, I hate this team. I hate this team that seems moving here. I hate that the A's are moving here. I can't bet on the A's because I hate them. They're moving here. I don't want them to move here. Yep. Nobody in Vegas wants the A's. The ballpark is going to be a very weird thing to watch get built. They want to take 10% of their games and play them elsewhere. Like, they're coming to a new place and they're like, yeah, but we don't want to be there for the full 81 games. We're going to go take 10 games and go play somewhere else. Wait, what? Where are you going? Why? Yeah. So the A's to me, like, I hate bet the A's all the time. So I'd take the Blue Jays just because I hate the A's.
It's very, very strange situation altogether there. But so are the Padres, who can't win a game anymore. Apparently, what is it, 4 in a row now? Do we trust them tonight against Arizona, who finally figured some things out?
No, I mean, this is a team. When are the Padres going to play like the Padres? Like, remember we thought they were going to be like a real contender to the Dodgers? We're like, yeah, man, they're stockpiling. Yep. They're going for it. They're spending. Can't trust them. I can never trust them. But the Diamondbacks, this is a team that made a huge run last year. And they're equally a pain in the neck. Like, you can't trust them either. So this is a tough game to bet for me, simply because whenever I think I've got a line on the Padres, they let me down. I think I'm 0-3 this year betting on the Padres in baseball. So I lean Diamondbacks.
Did you take the Chris Sale under? Because he's on the mound now, Maddie. Last time you and I think last time he pitched, we thought it was it was not good.
Careful.
That was the Chris Sale of the Red Sox.
Be real careful. June 1st comes, Chris Sale turns into a pumpkin. Yep. Real careful with Chris Sale. He's April and May. That dude's amazing. June on, careful.
Woo, we learned that lesson in the hard way last time out. Matty, enjoy, my man. I'll see you again tomorrow. Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in here. Game Time Decisions on this Friday here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Exciting stuff going on this weekend. A little something for everyone. Gotta love the way you start the month of June off here. We have a huge PGA tournament going on, a classic, the Memorial, in which Scottie Scheffler proving once again that he, Tiger who? He is the greatest thing to hit the PGA Tour since one Mr. Tiger Woods here. And he is in front at the Memorial once again. And a bit of a tune-up, because next week we've got the U.S. Open at Pinehurst. So golf certainly going to be front and center here all weekend long, all next week here. It's a good time of year. Now, let's not forget also, we've got the NBA Finals. That'll be on Sunday, Game 2. Will Dallas or won't Dallas be able to get back into this? And then, of course, the puck is dropping tomorrow in South Florida as the Panthers get ready to take on the Edmonton Oilers, there is one guy that knows all about the Panthers and Edmonton and hockey and the Mariners. And I'm trying to read what kind of sweatshirt he has, but I can't quite get that. But there is a lot of teams. You want somebody who knows a little about a lot, Dave Sharapan, in the house here, mostly because it all matches the headgear. I love that Mariners hat, right? Is that Maris or Mavericks? Which one is that?
No, this is old school Mavericks. Ooh. Because
Mavs.
Old school Mavs and Celtics, old school stuff. Brought out the green jacket because I got to go on with Perrault later. You know, he's from Boston. And he's been talking about these Celtics all season. And you saw what happened. And I said, all right, I can wear the full ensemble of Celtics stuff tonight as we bloviate about Boston sports later. But I said,
yes,
what's going to take for the Mavericks to win on Sunday in game two? I don't know if it's going to take Mark Aguirre, Dirk Nowitzki. It's going to take somebody. I don't know if Luka's enough. I didn't find really Kyrie got to step up. Everybody's got to step up. But I couldn't give him the satisfaction we're going to be together for the next 2 hours. I just couldn't wear all green and all Celtic stuff. I acquiesced with the jersey, with the T-shirt underneath the green jacket. Got dressed up for you. Big Belmont weekend. Last time I wore this jacket, I hit the try in the Kentucky Derby, and I was hoping you had a horseplay for me, Joe. Please, anything.
Yeah.
Anything?
Yes.
Is that a horseplay?
Absolutely, we did. I do. By the way, let me just say first of all, that has got to be the most Swiss flag outfit I have seen in a long time. You are literally not looking to get involved on a side or get on the other side now. The way you mixed and matched not only the Celtics, but throwing in the old school Dallas Mavs hat, very Switzerland of you there. I love it. And oh, by the way, I do think there is one thing Dallas can do. I think Jason Kidd could suit up on Sunday.
Oh,
what do you think? What do you think? Yes.
I mean,
you think he can give him a chance.
2 minutes a quarter?
I think he'll give him
a little rotation.
8 seconds. Yes, yeah, that's got calf written all over it. He doesn't want anything to do with that at all. Your Pirates are up 2-0 right now over the Twins, which is good. I won't say anything about that. But the Yankees and the Dodgers, this is a fun sight here. You don't often get to see it, especially when they both are relevant. But I'm not seeing any score right now. So did you think we were going to get runs here tonight? I didn't.
Is Soto in the lineup? I haven't checked.
No. Nope.
Is that kid
day
make it up
to though.
Play
He's not
the
on
game?
The IL. No, because they didn't put him on the IL.
Okay, so they didn't bring that kid up to play in the lineup, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Correct. They don't have a roster spot for him.
In our 4-hour tour that we did last night, we were paying attention to this. We were looking ahead. And I don't know if you remember, because I swear we talked to a whole roster of new people. We had a great show, great guests. It was outstanding. I got a very positive report today about the results of number of people that watched it. Thank you to everybody who did. We knew the number was, when we were surprised that the Yankees were dogs, it was minus 120, Yamamoto. That thing closed 142 in places.
Yeah.
Like the Dodgers were just going to show up today and win, 6-2? Like, it's nothing. I've been talking about it all day to everyone that I know. Now that I know that Soto's not in, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
But give me the Yankees plus money. That's what I thought. Now, Yankees and under would be the correlation, and so far so good to the total. That's also the reason why this is kind of neutral side as far as the NBA Finals. Joe, that game last night went under every single number. While we were on, there wasn't a number that game ended up over. We saw it as low as 196.5. I like the under again on Sunday. That's where I'm at with the total. Mix and match, bad, good, indifferent, under, Sunday.
We were a little miffed last night when it opened up at the same number game one did at 214.5, because I don't understand what's going to change necessarily, unless you think Dallas is going to win the game, not only cover, but win it outright. I think that's the only reason you would look at the over. It feels like every time Boston had a chance in that game last night, Dave, they slowed it down when the game was out of control. They had no interest in continuing. They paced it. They made it so Dallas couldn't come back. And I don't see why they would do anything different in game two. It would only be an under for us, right, in this one?
The only way I think what Dallas would change would have Boston miss more threes in the first quarter and maybe not have Porzingis play as many minutes as he did.
Right.
Porzingis was pretty good. That was the story. We talked about it. He's good. When he's good, Boston is real good. I was hoping we get a long series. Tomorrow's a must win for Dallas to win the series. Tomorrow isn't necessarily a must win to prevent them from getting swept. But I like, you know, the first thought is you got to take them plus the points. And any seven and a half are gone. I see some sevens now. There's a couple six and a halves. I'll be looking forward to Sunday.
Spot screams Dallas. But that doesn't mean they're going to win. We'll have more on that. Game time decisions here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in now. Game time decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. Joe Ranieri alongside the man taking over at the top of the hour here for a little in-game live prime time. And there's plenty of prime time Major League Baseball on here tonight. So a lot going on that card. But before you get out of here, Dave, I may or may not be seen at game one of the Stanley Cup Finals in South Florida here. But that is tomorrow. And I need to know how you're leaning, because I got a lot of Canadian friends that keep telling me, oh, boy, wait till Edmonton get. I'm not worried. What are you thinking here tomorrow?
I think so. Two schools of thought after this long layoff. I mean, these guys did not play for a while. You get sloppy hockey. It's no, you can't complete three passes. The goalies dominate. The game goes under, in which case it's reflective of the line, and it maybe goes to overtime. Now, you did good with the overtime bets. We talked about it a lot. It worked out very well.
Yep.
Tomorrow, I think it goes a little bit differently. I think the home ice, the last change, is going to limit what Edmonton Top Guns can do. Florida's so deep, they're going to set the matchups. And Maurice is – that team is so dialed in. Everybody's working together, and Bobrovsky's playing great. I like Florida in game one. I think it goes under, and I am looking at the Edmonton team total under. Now, the way Edmonton won the last few games against Dallas was to play under games. I don't think Edmonton, unless Skinner stands on his head, makes – I don't know, 35-plus saves, and they win a game 2-1 or maximum 3-2, that they can win that under game in Florida. The home ice and the last change is going to be vital to this whole series. These teams are very close, both playing their best hockey right now with all of their guys good to go. I don't think there's any undisclosed injuries. Maybe a power play or two, a bad puck bounce, something that's going to decide. The games are going to be close. Almost every game's going under. That's the way I look at it right now.
Yep. I don't hate that. First period under, too, 1.5. Might not be a bad look. A little tight with a 6-7 day layoff there. But it should be a very entertaining finals there. It was five games last year. Florida lost. I think we get a game or two more than that when this is all said and done. All right, Sharapan, get out of here. You got another show to do, as always, my man. Appreciate you swinging by. Again, next time, just wrap yourself in a Swiss flag. Much easier than having to coordinate two separate teams so you don't make anybody mad, though. But well done.
I don't want to make anybody mad, but I got it here, Joe. I got it here.
Oh, look, you see what I mean? There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Superman. Ain't got nothing on you. You got a phone booth in that room, too? Get out of here, Dave Sherapan. Appreciate it, as always, my man. All right, we got much more coming up here tonight as the dynamic duo there, both Dave Sherapan and Matty Perrall, taking over here in just a couple of minutes. And they will keep you abreast of what's happening here with the Yankees and the Dodgers. We've got no score. Top of the fourth inning right now. Yamamoto pitching well, and so is the Yankees rookie. I mean, this is all of a sudden a pitching match. I don't think anybody really thought we were going to get right now. We're also seeing quite the pitching battle at the Great American Ballpark with the Cincinnati Reds, who have been absolutely crushing it. Not crushing it right now against Steele. Top of the fourth inning, Cubs nothing, Reds nothing. Lodolo pitching for the Reds. That should be a good game. Orioles, Rays, a game in which we just could not understand what was going on with the number, where Baltimore in some spots was actually an underdog here on the road against Tampa. Well, as it turns out right now, it's 2-2. So Tampa is holding their own. Somebody get the license plate of the truck that just ran over the Detroit Tigers. Actually, it's the Milwaukee Brewers truck right now. 8-0 in that game, top of the fifth. The only blowout on the board right now. The Braves are losing to the Nats 2-0 in the bottom of the fifth with Chris Sale on the mound. So as you can see, there is plenty going on in Major League Baseball tonight. Much more to come. Matty Perrault there and Dave Sherapan will be taking over here in just a minute. What a day tomorrow is going to be. The Belmont Stakes, the Memorial, plenty of Major League Baseball, the NHL Stanley Cup Game 1. There is no reason for you to hang out anywhere other than right here. Game Time Decisions will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, cash those tickets. We'll talk to you again soon.